Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Wow. 500 years of serving God and proclaiming the gospel that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone, found in Scripture alone. Praise God for incorporating us into this incredible history as his servants, serving him with the gifts and abilities he has given us. Just those 500 years of history since the Reformation have been absolutely filled with saints who have served God and proclaimed the saving gospel so that it has spread to the ends of the earth. Luther and his early students and friends, as well as the theologians who followed them, missionaries like Henry Melchior Muhlenberg, who worked tirelessly to serve and organize the Lutheran Church in America before America was even a country, C.F.W. Walther and the Saxon immigrants who brought their understanding of the faith to America and worked to bring the church to German immigrant communities that had not received word or sacrament in years. The founders of our own congregation, the small group that met in the Hansen House in 1893 to organize Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, who placed this church in this community to bring the light of the gospel to their neighbors. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, as the writer to the Hebrews describes it. On All Saints Day, we remember those who have gone before us in the faith and now rest from their labors as they await the resurrection of the body promised in Scripture. So then it's only natural for us to wonder today, along with the Corinthians mentioned in our reading, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Is it going to be the same as the body they left behind? That physical body which, for many, started to break down toward the end of their life. Whether it be broken bones or joints that are breaking down and needing replacement, whether it be through weakness and shortness of breath, illnesses, allergies, cancer, mental deterioration, all of these things which cause the physical body to break down and come apart, the saints who went before us, their bodies started to break down toward the end. If I were suffering from Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or cancer, I don't know if I'd want to come back with any of those things in the resurrection. Watching people die of old age, I don't think anyone could say that they want those problems in their body at the resurrection. Think about Lazarus, who spent 4 days in the tomb before Jesus brought him back to life. When he died, he was ill to the point of death. It's not stated what his illness was, but that it killed him. After 4 days in the tomb, his body started to break down and decompose. When Jesus came to the tomb, his sister Martha said, you probably don't want to open that. It's gonna stink, because he started to decompose. Is that what it's going to be like in the resurrection? I sure hope not. But then, what will it be like? There are a lot of different ideas of what the resurrection can look like, which would do away with that old, broken-down body. reincarnation is one way that people have reconciled the concept of resurrection by giving it a new body. Instead of a hereafter, there's actually a take two. And this philosophy is most associated with Hinduism, though it has become a little more pervasive in our culture today. The concept of karma, what goes around comes around, actually does not apply to this life. It applies to the reincarnation. If I am a poor excuse for a human being in this life, then in my next incarnation, I will come back as a sea slug, or something less than that. If I am a good person in this life, regardless of the life I am in presently, in my next reincarnation, I will come back in a better station. There are some modern people outside of Hinduism who also believe in reincarnation. General Patton is just one example of someone who believed in this concept of past lives. But you see internet stories all the time about people who are convinced that they are remembering something that happened in a past life. There's also a popular misconception about heaven or about the afterlife, which doesn't go along with a reincarnation or a resurrection, but instead believes that when we die, we become angels who have no body. Angels are simply spirits. Well-meaning people and even some pastors at funerals can hammer this home with statements like, heaven has a new angel, or God called her home because he needed another angel. There are many comic strips and cartoon shorts that depict characters dying or dead characters getting wings to fly up to heaven or arriving in heaven translucent and receiving wings and harps and halos from a helper angel on arrival. But that's not what scripture says that angels are or what heaven is like. Angels are a completely different type of being than humans. But with all these misconceptions around, what is the truth? What is happening with these saints whose lives we are remembering on All Saints Day? The short answer is, they're waiting. Their physical body, the body that broke down in them, is in a grave, decomposing and awaiting the resurrection. Their spirit or soul was separated from their physical body, and the spirit is now in God's presence, worshiping him and praising him in blessedness and in heaven. But this still isn't the end. This still isn't what it's going to be like in the end. It is going to get better than being in God's presence as a spirit. They will receive a new, glorified physical body. Even now, the soul is waiting, joyfully waiting, but still waiting, waiting for God to come down. What will happen then? What will the body look like in the resurrection? Picture what a corn seed looks like. You place one seed in the ground, and for all intents and purposes, it is dead. A seed in the ground is buried just like a body seemingly dead. You watch and watch, and nothing is happening. But suddenly, a sprout comes up, looking nothing whatsoever like that little seed. Eventually, you have a full corn stalk standing in front of you, replacing that dead little seed. The stalk produces several ears of corn, each of which contains many kernels. The result, the stalk looks nothing like the seed which died to create it. And this is the case with the body at the resurrection. What is sown was the perishable natural body. What will be raised is the imperishable spiritual body. This is what Paul says in our reading. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. What is sown It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Sown in natural body, raised a spiritual body. The body at the resurrection, the body that we all will receive at the resurrection, will be nothing like the one that we bury, even if it bears some resemblance to it. Everything in the body that is broken down and corrupted will work again perfectly. Everything fallen and weak and sinful will be raised up and made strong. In fact, we actually have some inkling of what that resurrected body will look like as we look at Jesus. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, meaning Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven, that is, Jesus Christ. Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to his disciples, and they at first did not recognize him. They thought he was a ghost. And yet, when he revealed himself to them, they could tell it was him. They recognized him. And so we also will look the same, but different. We will be recognizable, but better. Think about what you looked like in your prime, however many years ago or how many years in the future that may be. Your resurrected body will be better than that. If you've ever seen a show like Pimp My Ride, think about the difference between the old junker you see at the beginning of the show and the pimped out version at the end. It's the same body, but 1,000 times better. Now, this does not mean that the body you have right now is nothing. It doesn't mean that this body is going to go away and you will have something else entirely different. I remember as a kid, I loved playing with Legos. My brother and I bought all kinds of Lego sets, especially the Star Wars ones. We would very carefully put them together, following the directions, and then we could play with them, putting them all together, playing with all the different sets together. And they looked really nice. They were a lot of fun to play with. But every so often, something, a piece or two, might get out of place. Pieces might fall off and get mixed in with the rest of the discarded extra pieces. Parts from one set get incorporated into another. We might take a set apart and use the pieces to build something entirely different. So then what would you do when you wanted to put the sets back together the right way? You take everything apart, you separate out all of the bad pieces, you find all of the correct good pieces, pull out the direction book to put it all back together the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it works with Legos, and it's sort of the way it works with us at the resurrection. At the resurrection, God will remove all the sinfulness, all the brokenness from our bodies and from this world. He will make all things anew, better than they ever were before, better even than the perfection of the Garden of Eden, because we will have God's perfection and God's perfect presence in our flesh in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of our last hymn, "Glorified I shall anew with this flesh then be enshrouded. In this body I shall view God my Lord with eyes unclouded. In this flesh I then shall see Jesus Christ eternally." For his sake, as we await his coming in glory at the end, amen.